Public Engagement Commission for the City of Goleta for November 4th, 2021. And before we go into roll call, I'd like to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So all those, if you're ready, begin. I pledge allegiance,
To the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And now, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes, good evening. We will do the roll call. Chair Paz.
Here.
Vice Chair Bliss.
Here.
Commissioner Massey.
Here.
Commissioner Schneider.
Here.
Commissioner Uribe. She's absent. Commissioner Ibarra.
Here.
And Commissioner Yao.
Here.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, you are muted, Dr. Paz.
Thank you. With that, I'd like to have Kelly introduce our newest commissioner.
Are we going to introduce the interpreter?
Yes, after that, we'll introduce,
okay.
We'll introduce interpreter, yes.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's good to see you all. It's my pleasure tonight to introduce the newest member to our Public Engagement Commission, our Youth Commissioner, Kyle Yao. This is his first Public Engagement Commission meeting, and we're really excited to have him on the team. Just to tell you a little bit about Kyle, he's a junior at Dos Pueblos High School. He volunteers at Cottage Hospital. He's also a coach for a robotics team in Santa Maria. And he was in the LEAD Academy, the second one that Goleta ever had. And he's been here for about 8 years in the city of Goleta, and he golfs. Those are just some of the things I know about Kyle, but I think he's gonna be a great addition. And I don't know, Kyle, if you wanna say something.
Yeah, just one more thing. It's really nice to be here just because my friend was the previous youth commissioner of Vinesh. I'm sure some of you have had the opportunity to work with him, and I'm very excited to be stepping up in his shoes. Very nice.
Thank you. Welcome, Kyle.
Welcome, Kyle. Now I'd like to introduce our interpreter, Viviana Marzano, who already started doing interpretation this evening. Viviana.
En la parte inferior derecha de la pantalla. Haga clic en el globo, seleccione interpretación de idiomas y luego haga clic en español o Spanish. Si usted está conectado por un iPad o un teléfono, va a haber un menú de tres puntos. Haga clic en los tres puntos, seleccione interpretación de idiomas, haga clic en español o Spanish y luego haga clic en finalizar o done. If there are no more questions, we can proceed with the meeting. Si no hay más preguntas sobre la interpretación, podemos continuar con la reunión. No questions? Okay.
Thank you. All right, at this time, I'd like to see if there's any public comment. Ms. Shaw, is there anyone with a public comment?
If there's anyone attending who would wish to speak on an item that's not on the agenda, please use the raised hand icon and I will call on you. Okay. So we have a few attendees, but it looks like none of them wish to speak at this time.
Thank you. That will take us to item A1, which is our workshop. And I want to remind the public that this is a workshop and the public is invited to provide comments throughout the presentation of our demographer, Dr. Daniel Phillips of NDC. And if there's specific points in the presentation, please point those out. We'd also like to let the public know to raise their hand. There's a raise hand icon that you should be able to see at the bottom of your screen. And that's the way we can respond to your questions. We'll not be able to use the chat feature at this virtual meeting. So with that, I would like to turn it over to our presentation.
Thank you, Chair Paz and members of the Public Engagement Commission. We want to thank you for continuing to advise us on the district drawing process. And I want to thank the members of the public who are attending this meeting and who've attended our many prior workshops, hearings, committee meetings, et cetera, on this topic. In 2017, the City Council passed a resolution to move to district elections for its four City Council member seats, beginning with the November 2022 election. The Public Engagement Commission was given the task to provide input to the City Council on the process of determining district lines for future district elections. One element of this process was to hold three public workshops, which we later increased to include this fourth workshop. And the purpose of tonight's workshop is to let the public know how to give their input into the process by drawing and submitting draft maps showing proposed district boundaries. We also want to collect public comment about what communities of interest you think should be kept together in the same district and general ideas about choosing a district map and feedback about our district drawing process. Before I hand the presentation off to Dr. Phillips, our demographer from NDC, I want to bring to your attention an issue we became aware of this week. We've been notified that any maps submitted using our computer mapping tools, that's MOR and District R, before the tools were updated with the final numbers last month, cannot be directly modified to reflect the final population numbers. This isn't just an MOR or District R issue. NDC tells us that every other mapping tool out there has the same unexpected problem. All agencies across the state have been using mapping tools will need to have their residents redraw maps that were submitted using the old population estimates. So our residents will need to redraw their maps. Luckily, this is pretty easy to do with your previous map in front of you once you're familiar with the tools, but it is disappointing. We'll continue to be flexible and creative in adjusting and adapting our process to best serve Goleta residents. Fortunately, we have a lot of time to do so since our map deadline isn't until January 6th, and council won't need to adopt a map until February or even March. But we want to tonight encourage the Public Engagement Commission and the public as part of our conversation to tell us how you think we might best assist our city residents that previously submitted a map. And with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Dr. Phillips.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. It's good to be with you all this evening. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to share my screen with you. All right, so you should now be able to see the first slide of my presentation, which shows a map of the city. And this is our public workshop on district name. So just as a reminder of what we're doing in this process, we are moving from the at-large election system to the by-district election system. There's also a hybrid system called the from-district system, but for purposes of the California Voting Rights Act, we would want to switch to the by-district system so that there is no risk of liability under for racially polarized voting under the California Voting Rights Act. So switching to a by-district system will enable the city to be legally safe as far as the California Voting Rights Act or CVRA is concerned. And so under this system, you have four districts and there has to be one council member who lives in each district and they can only be voted on by residents of that district. So the process goes back a few years. So in May of 2017, the resolution of intent was adopted to transition from an at-large system to a by-district system. Then last year on April 1st, the 2020 census was held. And so the goal of the census was to count all the people living in the city on that date. Moving into this year, we started having public engagement commission meetings back in February, where the commission was educated on the process and provided some initial input. Then as we moved into the summer, we got into the phase of having public workshops where the public was educated on the process and provided input. And the first of these was virtual, but we also had two that were in person. And the third also served as pre-draft hearing number one at one of the official required pre-draft hearings. And by pre-draft, I mean before any official draft maps were presented. So we had those two hearings on August 2nd and the 17th. And the 17th was held during a regular city council meeting. And so the public and council were asked to identify neighborhoods and communities of interest. And I'll get into what those are in the coming slides. So that takes us to the later part of the year where we had additional public engagement commission meetings, including tonight on November 4th. And there may be one more on December 9th, depending on how things shake out. But those are to receive updates on the process and have additional opportunities to inform and engage the public. So on September 20th of this year, we had the statewide database data release. And this was the Prisoner Adjusted California statewide database. And so what this is the state of California took the census data and adjusted for prisoner populations by reallocating prisoners to their last known residential address. So this caused the population of Goleta to increase slightly for any prisoners that might have been living in Goleta before they were incarcerated. So that's the official data that we have to use. And that is the official data that is available now in all of the mapping tools except for MOR. So now we have, looking ahead to January, we have the final deadline for public map submissions on January 6th. And this will be the deadline for the public to submit draft maps for inclusion and for the first of the post-draft map hearings. And then those maps will be released on January 24th and posted to the project website, drawgoleta.org. Then we'll have one more public engagement commission meeting to go over the submitted draft maps. And that will be an opportunity for the commission to provide input and recommendations to the city council. And then the city council will hold the two official post-draft map hearings on February 1st and 15th, where they will discuss and revise the draft maps and also discuss the election sequence. And these will take place during regular city council meetings. And finally, we're planning for a final adoption of one of the maps on March 1st of 2022. So before I proceed, I just want to see what the chat is. Okay, just a reminder to turn for the commissioners to turn on their cameras. So I'll proceed. So I want to call your attention to the rules and goals that we, in the case of rules, have to follow, and in the case of goals, may follow when drawing these city council districts. So when it comes to rules, we have two umbrellas, federal law and state law. Under federal law, we have the requirement that the districts be equal in population. Now, they don't have to be exactly equal. The courts have ruled that there is a 10% total deviation that is kind of the threshold. Anything less than 10% is considered presumptively constitutional. Now, after equal population, the next important consideration is the Federal Voting Rights Act. And the idea here is to not do anything that would dilute the voting influence of a protected class, which is a group of people who are historically marginalized or disadvantaged, often a racial or ethnic minority. But on the flip side, we don't want to practice what is called racial gerrymandering, where you make race or ethnicity the only or main consideration. So once you have ensured that the federal law has been followed, then you move to the state law. And here we have a rank order of criteria. So the state recognizes that it may not be possible to follow all of these criteria because the nature of districting entails trade-offs and compromise. So in that sense, you would want to privilege or prioritize higher order criteria. So the most important of these is to draw districts that are contiguous and that they are just one piece each, not disconnected pieces. Second is to not divide neighborhoods and communities of interest, which are socioeconomic geographic areas that should be kept together. A third is to follow easily identifiable boundaries like major roads, highways, railroads, coastline, et cetera. Our fourth is to draw districts that are compact in that they do not bypass one group of people to get to a more distant group of people. And finally, we have this prohibition against favoring or discriminating against a political party. So it has to be totally nonpartisan considerations. So once we have ensured that all the federal and state laws have been followed, then the city may consider these other traditional districting principles, such as respecting voters' choices or continuity in office by avoiding having districts where two or more incumbents live wherever possible, so that you leave it to the voters to decide whether each of them has earned re-election, rather than force one of them to leave because of the way the lines are drawn. And lastly, if you anticipate any future population growth, you can account for that by slightly underpopulating the district where that growth is expected, while not straying too far from equal population as determined by the 2020 prisoner-adjusted census. So this leads me to a demographic summary of the city's population. So you'll see the very first line of this column is how many people were counted by the census in 2010. And that would be just under 30,000. So earlier on in this process, we provided an estimated total population for the year 2020 based on our company's best analysis of what we thought the population would look like. So that was 31,112. And that is the number that was used on the tools prior to when they were updated with the official data. The 2020 census counted 32,690 residents. But then we had to incorporate the prisoner adjusted count, which took it just a little bit higher to 32,754. And that is the final number that we use to determine what the population of each district should look like. So we take that number and divide it by four districts, because there's going to be four city council districts, and there will continue to be an at-large mayor. So each of the four districts must contain about 8,190 people. And by people, we mean all people that were counted by the census. So that includes children and non-citizens, everyone. So we do have more demographic data than just this. So we encourage you to check out the story map to see maps of some of that data. But I do want to point out just one piece of data, which is the citizen voting age population. And this is crucial when it comes to following the Federal Voting Rights Act, because the courts have ruled that when it comes to giving voters from protected classes the best opportunity to elect candidates of their choice, you want to look at those who actually can vote, which are citizens of voting age. So there we see that the total citizen voting age population for Goleta is 21,151. Of those, 64% are non-Hispanic white, 24% are Hispanic, 8% are Asian or Pacific Islander, and 4% are non-Hispanic Black. So this leads me to the item of communities of interest and neighborhoods. So we talked about how one of the important criteria when it comes to following state law is to not divide neighborhoods and communities of interest. So first we have to know what those neighborhoods and communities of interest are. And the city council has recognized a list of communities of interest and neighborhoods to respect. This establishes a record of important areas that should be kept undivided in the map drawing process to the extent practicable. This is not necessarily an exhaustive list, but it is intended as a starting point so that when we, your demographers or members of the public, are drawing maps for a submission, we can make sure we do everything we can to not divide those areas. So what follows are maps showing each of those areas that have been identified. So we have general plan sub areas, which the city's general plan has broken up the city into these pretty large pieces that are each has kind of a distinct character. There are some that are more residential in nature. There are some that are more commercial in nature. And then you have the historic old town. Now, the council has said that these are more helpful as organizing frameworks rather than true communities of interest, because we really like to think of communities of interest as building blocks. So we want to make districts out of these building blocks of communities of interest. And these might be a little too large for that purpose, but they do serve as organizing frameworks for thinking about what the areas might look like and maybe sub areas within these larger areas. So we have the central area that is over here between the freeway and Hollister. A lot of the industrial parts are in there. You have a central resource area, which is Los Carneros County Park and a field to the west. You have the coastal resource area, which is along the southwest coast, where you have the golf course and a lot of the nature preserves. You have the Northeast Community Center, which is along Calle Real and gets a lot of that commercial area. The Northeast Residential Area, pretty self-explanatory. Northwest Residential Area, Southwest Residential Area, and then Old Town. We also have elementary school attendance areas, which could serve as communities of interest. And you see what each of the colors symbolize here, but there is some overlap between these and the general plan sub areas, like the Brandon School Attendance Area is essentially the Northwest residential area, while Elwood is the Southwest residential area. But this could be a helpful way to think of communities of interest as well. We also have identified the airport noise corridor. So from Hollister Avenue in the north to Phelps Road in the south, roughly this area, from Los Carneros in the east to Cannon Green Drive in the west. This is the area that is most impacted by planes that are landing or taking off from the airport. So they might be considered a distinct community of interest in being most affected by that airport. We also have demographic outliers, and by outliers, I mean they stand out from the average. They're either well above or well below the average in some demographic statistic. So we have the Elwood Beach Matilda area, and that stands out for having lower income and more multifamily housing and more renter housing. So you see the red circle has identified where that area is. You also have Encina Royale, which is a place where you have older residents and fewer with children at home. And nearby that is also Maravilla. And then we have Old Town, where we have more Spanish speakers than the average, more with children at home, a lower income, fewer college educated, more multifamily housing, more renters. So Old Town stands out a lot in a lot of categories. Then we turn to the issue of neighborhoods that have been identified. And going by each of the general plan sub areas, starting with the central area, As I show the names of these neighborhoods, their general location will pop up on this map with a red circle. So we have the Bluffs, Elwood Station, Eucalyptus Grove, the Hideaway / Sanderling, Hollister Village, La Calera or Solera / Pacific Glen, Mariposa at Elwood Shores, the Village at Los Carneros / Ella Cora or Ella Sora, Wayside Village, which is a mobile home park, and Willow Springs. In the Northeast, we have the Berkeley, Cambridge, Kellogg neighborhood, Carlo Vega, Encina Royale, La Goleta, Lake Los Carneros East, Lake Los Carneros North, Maravilla, Sue Ellen, and Village Terrace. In the Northwest, we have Brandon Evergreen, Dos Pueblos / El Encanto Heights, Evergreen Terrace, Mountain View Ranch, Santa Barbara West, which is a mobile home park, Winchester Canyon / San Miguel, and Winchester Commons. In Old Town, we have Dearborn Green / La Goleta. We have Old Town proper, so the very narrowest definition of Old Town, Patterson Place / Overpass Road, Rancho Goleta Mobile Home Park, Sumita Gardens, Winslow. In the Southwest, we have Armstrong Scripps Crescent, Cannon Green, Elwood Beach Matilda, Elwood Mesa Coronado, Meadow Tree, Santa Barbara Fairways, Pacific Oaks, Rancho Estates Mobile Home Park, Santa Barbara Shores, Sesame Tree Whittier, and Stark Ranch. So this takes us now to the public mapping and map review tools that have been made available on the drawgoleta.org website. So we have different tools for different purposes and for different levels of comfort and interest. And all those can be found at drawgoleta.org/drawmap. So we have a simple learn about your community story map, a simple review draft maps interactive review map. So this will be the place where you can actually look at the draft maps once they are posted. We have paper and Excel-based simple draw draft map tools. We have an easy to use online draw your neighborhood slash draw draft map tool, which is District R. And we have a more complex but powerful draw draft map tool, which is CalPERS Maptitude Online Redistricting, or MOR. So whether you use the online mapping tool, Excel, the paper kit, or just draw on a napkin, we welcome your maps and we'll present them all in a standard format to the Public Engagement Commission in January. So this leads me to the issue of the data issues we've been encountering here. So these slides are about how you make sure that your map is balanced. And by balanced, I mean making sure that your plan is within the threshold of according to the official data. So given that the mapping tools were only recently updated with the official population data, and MOR has still not been updated with the official population data, any plan submitted using the estimated population data may not be population balanced according to the official population data, even if they appear to be so according to the estimated population data. So to guarantee that your District R map is balanced, you must start a new drawing by clicking the purple button built out of 2020 blocks. If you click on your original version that you made with the estimated data and try to edit that, it will not adjust for the new official data, but continue to use the estimated data. Now, if you would like to use your original version as a template, you can have that open in another tab and try to do your best to replicate it as you make a new drawing. But once you are done, you would want to make sure to select Share Now to save it to the public gallery. Drafts are not shared with the council. So at this point, I'm going to demonstrate everything I just said. And I'm going to share my screen and go to the Draw Goleta website. So here we are at the homepage of the website.
Dr. Phillips, before you go on, we do have a raised hand. So if we could just, I'm going to call on that person now, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have Skona Britton who would like to ask a question. Skona, go ahead and unmute yourself, please.
Okay. I think you said that there was one tool, MR or something, that has not been updated with the new population. When will that be updated?
We cannot say at this time. Our CalPERS, the company that runs the tool, has been very slow in getting their data updated, and they've only just recently finished the counties, which have even earlier deadlines, December deadlines. So we're hopeful that will be by December, but I can't give you a firm date, unfortunately.
Am I still audible? Yes, I guess I am. Okay. How will we be notified when it's updated?
We will update the website to reflect the fact that all tools have the official data.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I will now demonstrate how to draw a map that uses the official population data. So if you go to drawgoleta.org and then click the draw map page tab, that will take you to this page, and you'll see at the top, all mapping tools have now been updated with the official totals, with the exception of MOR, which is tool number 6. So if you drew a draft map using unofficial population estimates, you will need to draw a new map using the official population data to ensure that your map is population balanced. If you try to edit your original District R submission, it will still be using the estimated data. So I will point out that the official data has been incorporated into all the tools except for number 6. So even if you go to the story map, and the story map is where you see a lot of the the data for what might be useful in identifying communities of interest. But if you scroll down in the story map, you will, it's actually the interactive review map, tool number two. So if you click on the interactive review map, that will load and show you this screen. And you'll see all the data layers that are available to check or uncheck at your leisure. So I'm going to uncheck the sub areas and the city boundaries. And I'm going to show the population units with their population counts. So these population units have been updated with the official data. So most notably, you'll see this area here. This used to show zero on the estimated data because this is a very new housing development that was not counted until recently. So you'll see, you can now have access to the recent up-to-date official data on this interactive review map. And what it's showing here is the same population units that are used on the paper mapping tools. So the same data that you see here is on the paper tools. Now, if you want more finer resolution than you get when using the paper tools, because of the nature of a paper static paper map, you can only show so much. You can check census blocks population counts, and you can see the smallest unit of resolution we have, and that is each census block, and you can see the number of people living in each of these census blocks. So we just wanted to point out that data is available. Now, I mentioned the paper maps. We have paper only maps and paper maps that you use with an Excel spreadsheet. So if you go with the paper only maps, you just click either English or Spanish and you're taken to this page, which shows the updated data by population units. And basically what you do here is draw four districts on this map. Make sure that each of the four districts is close to 8,190 with no more than an 819 difference between the largest and smallest, because that's the 10% total population deviation we're talking about. So you'll see here that this area that used to be zero is now 1,010. So it's totally up to date. So if you were to use this option, you would have to manually calculate how many people live in each district you draw. So you would use a calculator and add up the numbers that are in a district that you drew over here, and the same thing for the other three districts. And then you would submit that at City Hall or take a picture and email it to cityclerkgroup@cityofgaleda.org. Now, if you want to make sure that the math is done correctly, and because maybe you might make an error doing the math yourself, then you can use the paper maps with the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. But you have to use two pieces here. The first is the paper map with the ID numbers. So instead of giving population totals for each of the units, it gives you an ID number starting at 1, going all the way to 54. And so you use this as a reference for when you go to the Excel spreadsheet. And if you click on that, it will take you to an Excel spreadsheet that will have all of those ID numbers displayed. So I will see if I can pull that up here. So it looks like this, where you have three tabs: instructions, assignments, and results. So I will go to the assignments tab. And you'll see here that, let me zoom in so it you can see it a little better. You have all the population units, 1 through 54 with their ID numbers. And so you just put a number, 1, 2, 3, or 4 in this cell for how you wanna assign each population unit to a district. And if you do that, then it will calculate up here how many people are in a particular district. So if you were to give these units to District 1, you will see at the top that District 1 adds people and it gets closer to the ideal value. So as you add more people, this will get closer to zero as you get closer to the ideal number. So that last one I added took me to 632 over the ideal. So if I move population unit 16 out of District 1, that takes me to minus 267, which is closer to the ideal. So for the sake of demonstration, I'm gonna fill out all these units. If I were really doing this, I would be referring to the map with the ID numbers, but I'm just doing this so you can see what it looks like once all the districts are filled at the top. So I got District 2 down to minus 2, which is almost exactly where it needs to be. And then I'll finish off with District 4. So you see all of my districts have now been created and there are people in each district and you see how far off each district is from the ideal. So then you can go to the results tab. And then you'll be able to see a breakdown by citizen voting age population for each of the districts. So you'll see that what the percentage values are for each of the districts you create. Then you can see how far off each district is from the ideal percentage wise. And you'll see that the total population deviation is 8.65%, which is the sum of the absolute values of this and this, the most populated district and the most underpopulated district. And that is that shows up as green because that is considered population balanced because it is less than 10%. So that's how you use the Excel supplement. It's helpful if you want to make sure the math is being done right. Going back to the district website, we now come to the District R tool. And this is the tool that we are that is proven to be the most popular among residents for submitting their draft plans. So you click on that link and it will take you to this site with the tag Goleta. And if you scroll down, you'll see where you can start drawing. And you can see a gallery of all the maps that have been submitted so far. So you can see if you click load more plans, all the plans that have been submitted, starting with the 32180 back in July and going up through 74226 just a couple of days ago. But I do want to point out that every single one of these plans up through 52096 was created using the estimated data. You can look at it because it says from blocks for each of these, but the updated data says from 2020 blocks, from 2020 blocks. So these are ones that remain using the official data. So if you made one of these maps using the estimated data, your plan may or may not be population balanced according to what the official data is. So if you want to be absolutely certain that your plan is population balanced, then you'll need to click this purple button to build a new plan out of 2020 blocks. And so that will take you to this place where you can do that. But let's say you actually already drew a plan using the estimated data, like let's say this plan. I'm going to have it open as a tab, a separate tab, so I can refer to it as I draw my updated map. Now, to draw an updated map, you have to start a new plan, like I said, by clicking the purple button. So if I drew this map, I'll have to, actually, this might not be a good example because it already was not population balanced. So let me find a new example. Let's try this one. Okay, so here we have it has a maximum population deviation of 2.36%. Now that leads me to the next slide in my presentation, which is about what that percentage value actually means. So when you are using District R, please be mindful of what the percentage value displayed at the bottom right side of the page is showing you. It is showing the maximum population deviation, or the most a single district deviates from the ideal. We are looking for plans that have a total population deviation less than 10%. Having a maximum population deviation that is less than 10% does not mean that the total population deviation is less than 10%. Necessarily. So to be safe, aim for a maximum population deviation that is under 5%. So going back to the District R page, you will want this to be less than 5% to ensure that the total population deviation is less than 10%. So what this is showing you is that one of the districts, looks like maybe this dark green one, is 2.36% away from the ideal. And that is the furthest that any of the districts is from the ideal. You'll see that it's the farthest away from that line. So this looks to be a population balance map because if the maximum is 2.36%, then the total has to be under 10. So just make sure that this value is under 5% and you'll be safe. So this plan, according to the estimated data, is population balanced. Notice here that it says uses projected 2020 population data. So you might be tempted to, I'll just edit. Don't edit using the projected 2020 population data. Like I said, you're gonna wanna start a new plan. So that was 37,890. So I'm going to have, let's assume that I drew this this plan ID 37,890, and I want to make sure that it's population balanced by starting a new drawing. Click the purple button. Notice here how it says uses adjusted 2020 decennial census population. So that tells you that this is the right data. This is the official data. And so if I drew this plan and wanted to replicate it, I would have to kind of eyeball it and see, okay, the first district is the blue one. And it looks like that takes in all of the Northwest sector, as well as this part of the Southwest. So going here, I would need to click the paintbrush, make sure that the blue icon is selected. I might make my brush size a little smaller, like 10. And then I just go and fill in the districts and try to replicate what I initially drew. So that looks to be, if you click on the hand icon, you can pan. I left out one piece there, so I'll make sure I get that. So that looks to be what this first district is. So now I can go create the second district, which basically is everything up until Stork. So then I will go and make sure I'm on the paint icon, click the yellow button. So I am drawing the second district and click lock already drawn districts so that you don't accidentally paint over that first district you've already drawn. So I will do that and draw up to Stork. And that is my second district. So the third district is pretty simple. It's just everything to the northeast. Oh, actually the third district is the dark green. So that would be the southeast portion. And notice what happens on the right here as I add people. The dark green gets bigger as more population is added. So that looks to be roughly what their dark green district looks like. And then I just finish off with the lighter green district and paint all of that in. All right, so now it's helpful when you think you're done to check this, highlight unassigned units. And that will show you which blocks you might have missed. So it looks like I missed one up here. I missed several in the dark green district. And that looks good. And you also see down here, unassigned population is zero. So that means I got all of the people I need to get. So now we've made sure that we've replicated the original drawing, which was initially population balanced. And now we can see that it's basically a perfect copy of the original submission. But now we see, if we look at the bottom right here, that the maximum population deviation is 7.85%. And I said to, you want to keep it under 5% to be safe. So it looks like this is not population balanced anymore. And just to make sure, you can calculate by taking 8,831, which is the most overpopulated district, and subtract that by 7,896, which is the most underpopulated district. That gets a value of 935. And then you divide that by the ideal, which is 8,188.5. And that gets me a total population deviation of 11.4%. So it is indeed not population balanced anymore. So in that sense, if you want to make sure that it is population balanced, you'll have to make adjustments and you'll want to see, okay, so it looks like the dark green district is too big. And this makes sense because this area in the dark green district, the village at Los Carneros used to be zero as far as estimated data is concerned, but now there's like 1,000 people there. So that makes a big difference. And so you'll have to figure out how you want to reallocate the districts. So perhaps you might take out Stork Ranch and add it to the second district. You'll want to make sure that you uncheck lock already drawn districts, and then you can bring this in. So now actually that made things worse, because now we have a maximum population deviation of 8.73, and we want to aim for something that's under 5. So you'll have to play around with it, and it may not be such a neat quadrant like plan may not be salvageable under the new official population data. So you may need to get creative about how your new plan looks. So hopefully this illustrates well what you would need to do in order to ensure that your original plan is population balanced. But the key thing is, once you are finished and you are satisfied with your plan, you will need to click save. And you're going to want to share now. If you save it as a work in progress, it will just show up as a draft. Only if you select share now will it be shared to the gallery, and will we be taking that and presenting that to the commission and the council. So if you were to click share to gallery, that would accomplish that. So I know that's a lot, but I thought it was really important to clearly demonstrate. So I think that the only thing I have left to show is one final slide. Any questions about the public mapping tools? And please visit the website for more information. So thank you for your attention.
We do not have any questions at this time, but if anybody who's watching would like to ask a question, please use the raised hand icon now, and we will call on you. Okay, it does not look like anyone in the audience has questions at this time. Thank you.
I have a question from Commissioner Schneider. Go ahead. You're on mute, Commissioner Schneider.
If I heard correctly, we may not have the last possible tool until sometime in December. And purportedly, we are selecting maps for recommendation to the City Council at the beginning of January. What do you suggest be done? Should we simply ignore the MOR process and use any of the other processes to do the maps? And because it doesn't seem time-wise like very efficient to think we're going to ask everybody to do maps, submit maps, and so on in the last 2 weeks of December. Seems like a losing strategy to me. So I'm curious about what you're recommending to people who are in small cities like Goleta about the way to proceed. Clearly you showed us that we could do it without the MOR. The MOR. So shouldn't we just proceed without the MOR?
So it's up to you. We have made available the MOR tool, and at least one person has taken advantage of it so far, but the vast majority of those who have submitted maps have done so using District R. So mm-hmm. It's like something like 22 verses 1. Right. So we will gladly accept and present all submissions using the MR tool. It just may not be population balanced, but the nice thing about MR as opposed to the district R tool is that it's non-anonymous. You actually submit contact info when you submit a MR plan. And so we'll be able to contact anyone who made an MR plan with the estimated data and say, hey, now the official data is available if you want to update your plan or make a new plan with the official data. You have that opportunity now.
Okay, I think that answers my question, because it does suggest that people can go forward, both the members of the Public Engagement Commission, as well as the public, could go forward and submit their maps way before the end of December using the new data.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, with all these other means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just to follow up on that, Commissioner Schneider, I think if this commission felt like, you know, we should just take that MOR tool down because it's not updated, and I look to Dr. Phillips to say, you know, do we have any sort of idea of, you know, is it coming soon? If you wanted to recommend that we take that tool down, given that we've only received one map using it during this process anyway, we would like that, you know, input from you.
Yeah, if I could comment, I would say, yeah, I think we should, given that we don't have a definitive timeline when that data would be up. And just having it linked or available would continue to confuse people to use it or encourage people to use it when they probably shouldn't. Yeah.
Well, as we are not agendized for direction from the commission, we'll consider that just some good input to staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any other questions, comments from commissioners? No people from the public? Okay, everyone seems to have answers, which is good, I guess, to a degree. So happy to see that.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
Just in terms of the process of the Public Engagement Commission, by the next meeting, when we meet in December, are we assuming that we will be looking at the maps that are already submitted, so we might have a conversation about them or not? In other words, I'm looking for a sort of process suggestion. Should we be looking at what's already submitted, or should we wait until after the deadline? Seems awfully late to wait. Should we be looking at what's submitted so we have some sense of what people are submitting to us? And the deadline for submitting is January 6th. Our next meeting is December 9th. When should we be looking, and when are we going to discuss the actual maps? How are we going to make a recommendation unless we actually have a discussion of the maps? So I think we need a deadline for ourselves for when we will do the work.
Commissioner Schneider, and I'm going to ask Dr. Phillips to jump in here if he also has comments, but I would say, you know, you can be in there looking at the maps that are being submitted now, particularly to see if you see any themes here. Like, are a lot of people dividing, you know, Old Town, or a lot of people dividing, you know, along a certain throughway. Eventually, you're going to have to consider the pros and cons of the different maps that are presented. Now, right. That said, it won't be till after we get all of the maps in that Dr. Phillips and NDC do an analysis on each of those maps, and they will bring them to you and say, okay, here's what we're seeing in the maps. Here's each map, here's how that map looks as far as balance between majority minority districts, I don't think we're going to get those. I think that's pretty hard to draw in Goleta, but you know, the making sure that we you know, this one doesn't constitute racial gerrymandering. This one looks good because there are compact districts. They're not, you know, bypassing populations to get to other populations. So they'll give you some advice about, you know, how the maps look under the Voting Rights Act and California, and that the California Voting Rights Act, that won't happen until January. But there's no reason you can't now start looking at and becoming familiar with some of the maps that are being, and some of the options that are out there for you when you actually get to considering the final maps is submitted and determining, you know, which one works best for Goleta. Dr. Phillips, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think you covered it about as well as I could.
We do have one attendee question. So if you don't mind, Chair Paz, I will go ahead and ask them to speak now. Skona Britton, feel free to unmute yourself and you can go ahead and speak.
Hi again. I'm wondering whether the process is such that you're required to choose one of the submitted maps, or are you allowed to combine features from submitted maps and come up with your own?
I can address that one. The commission can recommend, you know, this map, except we want to move this line this way. So yes, I mean, they do not have to take a map as exactly as submitted. They can make other recommendations to the city council. Likewise, the city council, once they get the map recommendations, could say, you know, we like this map, but we want to move the edge a little this way. So they're going to work with their demographer. They're going to listen to public comment. There'll be several public hearings. And they'll have the opportunity to adjust boundaries on maps during that process to come up with the final map.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the commissioners? All right. No other public comments? Yeah, we're scheduled to go till 8, but there is nothing.
I do have one of the things that we could talk about or ask for input from the commission and the public is, you know, we did have 22 maps submitted using the estimated numbers. Do you have ideas about the best way that we could work to make sure that people who submitted those maps have the opportunity for support from us in redrawing their maps, now that we know that unfortunately the tools, the way the data works with the tools, none of the tools will allow them to just adjust their prior map. So any thoughts about outreach, or do we need to do another workshop? What are your thoughts about that? The public and the committee. And the commission.
Hi, this is Commissioner. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Commissioner Ibarra.
No, I was just going to say because I think we should agendize, or at least to have staff look at the concerns that Commissioner Paz came up about removing that link, because I could see a number of people that have submitted the maps or continue to try and use that link, being frustrated and saying, well, my input is not, even though that information isn't updated, I think there should be something we should put out, at least to inform the public that link should not be used. I think that would be one of the items I would like to see explored.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra. So if I could clarify, that would be on the website where the MOR tool is available. putting something on there that says this tool is not updated and for now we're not having people use
yes,
it?
Just or... inform, yes, okay. Just a little something to inform people so that people don't become frustrated and say, oh, I didn't. That way they would know up front that it's not working.
Right. Okay. So something that lets people know if they go to the website that if they're using that tool, that they may want to use another tool, that this particular
exactly.
tool is not updated. Yeah.
Well said.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. My suggestion would be a little bit stronger than that. I think that we shouldn't have a website that says the tool's still here, but don't use it. I think that's more confusing than simply taking it down and not having it, quite frankly. What else you ask in the question is really about how to be in contact with all the people who submitted maps and the other kinds of formats. And I do think, I don't know who does this work, but I do think to the extent that we have access to those people, they should be told that the numbers are slightly different, that that if they want to have the most up-to-date map, to go ahead and resubmit, and doing the process that they already did. But I don't think we need another workshop, unless that workshop is going to be only for the people who submitted maps previously. Because we don't need all of this background again. We, you know, if we wanted to have something for all those people who submitted so they could sit together, even if it's in a Zoom context, and talk to Daniel and he could help them, you know, maneuver from one map to the next map, that would be a good use of time, I think, or some other way to, for some people, it may be that they've drawn the maps or that it was simple for them some of the other ways and they'd be happy to sort of color in the city again the way they want to. So it would want to give people the option to do that rather than have anybody think that their map wasn't considered because they didn't have the up-to-date numbers and they sort of being punished for doing it too soon, you know, for submitting it in advance of those numbers.
Thank you, Commissioner Schneider. Maybe I'll ask Dr. Phillips, is there a way through the District R tool, which is where most of our maps were submitted, is there a way for District R to contact the person who submitted the map? Or you did say something about anonymous submissions through District R.
Yeah, no, it's completely anonymous. Okay. So unless they put their own name when they submitted the plan, then there's no way of contacting them, and that's really unfortunate. But what I can say is that every single plan that has been submitted will be presented to the commission and the council, regardless of whether it's population balanced or not. We'll flag if it's not, and maybe suggest some ways to make it balanced. But we would want to encourage people who do submit an updated version to say, put in parentheses something like replacing ID 34882 or something like that. So we can know, hey, we don't need to consider that original submission because it's now been updated by this new one. But unless we get that that indication, we're going to present every single submission, even those that were made with the estimated data, because there is a chance that they can still be population balanced. And even if they're not, it's still a starting point that we can maybe suggest ways to make it balanced.
Thank you.
I'd like to just step in if I can and mention the fact that I agree with Slider on the fact that we should actually just pull the information that we would be leaving there for them, telling them they couldn't use it. I mean, it looks to me incompetent to leave something that's no good there to trick some people who won't pay enough attention to redo a map or do the first one using that. Just let them know that only what is available now is this, and we would like you to go ahead and use this.
Thank you. That's good feedback.
And we do have a hand up from the attendees. So I'm going to go ahead and Skona Britton, if you're ready, you can unmute yourself and speak now.
I just wanted to say that I've been following this all along, and I think you've made it extremely clear that the population numbers were going to be changed. Those were not the final ones. The final ones were coming. I personally decided to wait until the final numbers were here before I made a map. I just thought that would be more efficient. But every single person who's already submitted one was told really clearly that those numbers were going to be updated. I think a reminder would be great. And I think you could send it out on, you know, the general city email, like the same email that told us about this meeting and those kind of things. And you'd reach everybody interested.
Yes, and we are planning, and I see Kelly Hoover here as well. We are planning, she has multiple modes of reaching out to the public, and we will be putting something out there just to try and catch everybody and let them know, flag for them that if they have submitted a map, they're going to need to redraw it.
And they knew that before, so I don't think you need to worry about it too much.
Thank you.
If I could intervene just here just for a second, I just was going to say, yeah, obviously we're going to do some heavy outreach here in the last couple months leading up to when the maps are due. So we can obviously keep this at the forefront. And then I was going to ask Daniel Phillips if we did the how to draw tutorial video that is playing. Will we need to edit that in order to reflect that? Were there parts of that video that we'll need to change or we could change to make this clear?
I don't believe that would be necessary because as I recall the demonstration, I was showing how to make a community of interest and that is unchanged. And then I was showing how to make a draft plan and I demonstrated how you click the purple button. It's the same purple button. It's just now the purple button says built out of 2020 blocks. So the main message has to be, you got to click the purple button and to make a draft plan, you can't click on an original submission and try to edit it that because that's still going to be using the estimated data. So if I could just say one message, it's that the video's fine. Everything's good. Just draw a new map by clicking the purple button.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Any questions from staff? Any other questions from staff?
No, just thank you so much. You've been so helpful with this process and it's nice to know you're here. We can come and kind of give you some ideas and thank you for hosting this workshop and for all of your assistance through this process. We will still potentially have the December meeting. You know, the way this 2020 census has been going, you know, it keeps throwing curveballs. And so we adapt and we adjust and we move forward and but we're going to keep that date pending in case something new comes up that we need to touch base with you for. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you holding the time on your calendars and we may or may not actually have that meeting.
Okay, thank you for letting us know. If there are no other questions, no other comments from the public and or commissioners, I'd like to close out our meeting for this evening and adjourn until the next meeting we have. I want to thank everyone, especially Dr. Phillips, for leading the workshop. I appreciate that. I think we learned a lot. And obviously, I want to thank staff and commissioners for being in attendance and for the public and their input. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.